O Lord God Almighty, we stand before you as your people, saved by your grace. And we are going to contemplate this most holy subject of our Lord Jesus laying down his life for us. We pray that you may sanctify our mind, prepare us to meet with you. We pray that you may warm our hearts as we consider the voluntary sacrifice of Christ for us to redeem us from the bondage to sin, to the devil and to death. Help us, we pray. Speak to each and every one of us. Fill us with the Spirit of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name do we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, may I invite you all to open your Bible to John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. In this Easter season, we shall especially concentrate on these two verses. Our Lord Jesus says, "Therefore my Father loved me, because I laid down my life, in order that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." In John chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the shepherd and the sheep. He talks about the wolf coming to devour the sheep, but the hirelings who do not own the sheep, they run away when dangers came. But Jesus himself is the shepherd who owns the sheep, and he is the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. So John chapter 10 is about the good shepherd. In the context of this, he in our text talks about he himself laying down his life for the sheep, and no one takes his life from him, but he has the authority to lay down his life, and he has the authority to take up his life again. Now this morning we are focusing on one thought. As our Lord Jesus tells us here, it is that our Lord Christ did not succumb to death. Rather, he laid down his life in obedience to his Father's command. Now, first of all, we're going to look at some of the facts surrounding Jesus' death. They are just facts from the Gospels. And then we shall consider the significance of Jesus laying down his life for us. And we shall follow the text more closely in the second part of our sermon this morning. Now there are some fascinating details in relation to Jesus' death. All through Jesus' life, he knew he would have to lay down his life unto death as a sacrifice for sin. At his baptism, John the Baptist pointing out to Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb of God, he's going to take away the sin of the world. Well, for the lamb to do that, the lamb must be slain. The lamb must die. And yet throughout the Gospels, we discover that our Lord Jesus evaded death a number of times during his ministry. At the beginning of his ministry, at his homecoming sermon in a synagogue in Nazareth, after that sermon, the people got so angry with him, they were filled with wrath, and they thrust him out of the synagogue. They took him outside the city, would sit on top of a cliff, and they were going to throw him down the cliff. But we are told in Luke chapter 4, verse 30, Jesus, passing through the midst of them, he went away. Well, Luke does not tell us all the details, but somehow, by Jesus' power, his dignity, maybe it was a miracle as well. He evaded death. He just left them and they couldn't kill him. In John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus declared that before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews got mad at him. They understood, you are claiming to be God? Oh yes. And they were going to stone him. But it's very interesting that in John chapter 8, verse 59, if you're taking notes, it says Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Again, Jesus escaped by his power, by his own dignity. There was something really mighty and supernatural there. So Jesus had to die. But he would not die before the time appointed by his Father. Our Lord Jesus told us that there was a time and a place for his death. And that time and place, and man as well, were appointed by his Father. Jesus says, a prophet should not perish outside Jerusalem. He must die in Jerusalem. And that's why when the time came for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. There was only one place he must go when the time was up, and it was all the way to Jerusalem to suffer there in the holy city. Early on in the Passion Week, when some Greeks came to see Jesus, our Lord Jesus sensed the time had come. And he said in John chapter 12, verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour has come. This is the hour that I've been waiting for. This is the hour appointed by my Father. I must be glorified now, not later. And how would Jesus be glorified? He'll be glorified through the cross, through his laying down of his life. And you notice on Palm Sunday, our Lord Jesus himself arranged all the details for him to go up triumphantly to Jerusalem, riding on a baby donkey in conscious fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. And then after Jesus entered Jerusalem, he directly challenged the corruption of the Jewish authority by cleansing the temple and in so doing threatening their authority and also their source of income, and in so doing hastened his own death, so to say. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus surrendered himself to be arrested. Christ could have repelled the soldiers by a mere word. The soldiers fell down as he said, "I am." And when Simon Peter took out his sword to fight back, Jesus said to him, "Stop, put your sword back to where it should be." And Jesus asked Peter, "Don't you know that I have the authority? I can ask my Father to provide more than 12 legions of angels, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. I got all the authority to repel my enemies. I got all the authority to struck them down and dead. But I will not do that because the scriptures must be fulfilled. I must lay down my life now." And when Jesus was about to be crucified, the soldiers offered him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, some sort of painkiller, but our Lord Jesus refused to take it. He would not lessen a single bit of his pain. He would have full command of his mind to the very end. He did not want any drugs to dull his senses. And you notice, at the end of the 6 hours, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now notice, it was at the end of the 6 hours. Just at the point of his death, he cried out with a loud voice. This was not the cry of a man who had no strength left in him. He got all the strength and life still intact with him. This was a cry of a man powerfully laid down his life for the sheep. And after saying, "It is finished, that all his work is now done," again we are told, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." Having said that, he breathed his last. Our Lord Jesus gave back the life which his Father had first given him. For him to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death. Jesus was in perfect control of his life and of the timing of his death. He laid down his life for his sheep in obedience to his Father. We hear the distinct echo of Jesus laying down his life for us in 1 John 3:16. John says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Christ laid down his life for his sheep. And his sheep, his people, are to lay down their lives for the brethren. Just as Christ laid down his life for us, so we are to lay down our lives for others. At this point, we are deeply convicted of our own selfishness. We ask ourselves, have I really laid down my life for my brethren and sisters? Have I really denied myself and take up my cross daily in following Jesus? Have I laid down my life so as to serve others? We ask this question, Where is the legitimate, rightful place for selfishness in the Christian life? Have I got the right to say a single, nasty, unkind word to my wife or to my mother? Am I allowed to be selfish for a single, solitary minute? But no, we have not that right. And we feel convicted of our selfishness. And yet the true believer, knowing his own sinfulness, knowing his own selfishness, knowing his own failures, he does not want to be selfish anymore. He wants to be selfless. And friends, we stand in need of two things: the forgiveness of our sins and the strength to obey God's commandment. And our twin needs of forgiveness and strength to obey God, our Lord Jesus has provided for us in his atoning death. So we've just followed very briefly some of the facts surrounding Jesus laying down his life. He did not succumb to death, but he laid down his life of his own accord. And notice that Jesus died long before the two other thieves. He died very quickly. Pontius Pilate was surprised that he should die so quickly. You know why did Jesus die so quickly? Only 6 hours. Usually crucifixion took much longer to kill a person. It was because Jesus laid down his life. Death did not take him. He took death in his hand. He laid down his life for the sheep in obedience to the Father. Now we must go back to John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18, and follow more closely our text and consider the significance of Jesus laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, "I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power or authority to lay it down, and I have power or authority to take it again." We notice carefully. No one took away Jesus' life from him. He says, "I have authority, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the authority and the power to take it again." Now, who can do that? Who has the authority to lay down his life? Who has the authority to take up his life again? Except God himself. This points to Jesus' divinity. No one could take away the earthly life of the Son of God in human flesh. Not Pilate, who condemned him. Not the soldiers, who crucified him. Not Judas, who betrayed him. Not the high priest and his henchmen, who sought Jesus' death. Not even God the Father took away Jesus' life. For God the Father would not take away Jesus' life by force. Oh no. For the Father to forcefully take away Jesus' life, he would have to tear apart the Holy Trinity. No one person in the Godhead would ever force another person to do anything. There has always been perfect cooperation of a single mind within the Godhead. The Father did not force the Son to die. The Father did not kill the Son, rather the Son laid down his life willingly, freely. Jesus says in verse 18, "This command I have received from my Father." The Son willingly obeyed the Father. The Son laid down his life in obedience to the Father's plan and command. And here we have a glimpse into that eternal plan of the triune God before the foundation of the world. The Puritans love to call this the covenant of redemption, or counsel of peace. By that, they mean before the foundation of the world in all eternity, there was this pact, this arrangement, this plan for the Father to save many sinners. But the Son himself must come in human flesh, and the Son himself must lay down his life and take up that life again, so that God's chosen people must be saved. "This command I have received from my Father." What's the command? What's the command? The command to lay down his life and also take it up again. The Father's will is for the Son to lay down his life as a living priest, offering himself up as the slain lamb. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that living priest, and he laid down his life as the offering. Christ is both a priest who offered up the sacrifice, is also the sacrifice, is also the lamb. He is the living priest who offered the slain lamb. In Hebrews chapter 9, we are told, verse 11, "Christ came as high priest of the good things to come." He came in his body, given by his Father. The Son of God became flesh, and with his own blood, Christ our Lord entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We're still at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, sustained by the Spirit, he offered himself as that spotless Lamb of God to God as a sacrifice for sins. And for his obedience, we are told that the Father rewarded him with a special love and approval. Back to John chapter 10, verse 17. "Therefore, my Father loved me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." Because of what I am going to do, because of my obedience to the Father in laying down my life and taking it up again, therefore the Father will bestow upon me his own special love. Well, you may like to say, well, surely the Father love the Son from all eternity. Oh yes. From all eternity, God the Father loved the Son with that perfect, infinite love. And the Holy Spirit is that bond of love. But at the obedience of the Son, at the accomplishment of redemption, the Father loved God the Son in human flesh, the Messiah, the Redeemer of sinners, the King and Head of the Church, the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, with that special love as the reward for Messiah Savior's work and obedience. So my dear friends, when our Lord Jesus felt nothing of the sense of God's presence when he was hung on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he had no sense of God's presence at all, it was the very moment that the Father loved him more than ever before. By faith, our Lord Jesus endured the cross. He endured the shame and the pain of the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, Jesus, the author or captain and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, faith in the promise of God to keep him, faith in the command of God for him to lay down his life, he endured all the shame and the pain on the cross. When he felt nothing of God's love, he believed God's love for him. In obedience to his Father, he laid down his life, and later on, in obedience to his Father, he took up his life again. What a lesson that is to us. That we are to live by faith and not by sight. When sense should fail us, we have the Word of God to go by. Well, no friends, our emotions are not trustworthy. Sometimes we are up, other times we may be down. And some people got more downs than up. But whether we are down or whether we are up, we go by the Word of God. That those who believe in Christ, their sins are forgiven, they're accepted by God, and they shall never be separated from the love of God. But for those who reject the Savior, for those who are proud and self-righteous, who are not willing to commit themselves to Christ, for those who love their sins more than their Lord, there shall be eternal condemnation. Where do you stand this morning? Are you following Jesus in terms of trusting God and His Word? Or are you living by your own strength and wisdom? Recently, and we are still learning, that human wisdom and human power can be so unreliable. with all the strength and might of the modern world and technology, we feel so threatened. Suddenly, a booming world economy is under threat. My dear friends, it is folly to trust in ourselves. It is wisdom to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God. And how wonderful, how amazing is God's way of saving sinners. We see here the manifold wisdom of God in saving us. That there should be this plan from all eternity for God the Father to save through the sacrifice of His Son, and that His Son has come in obedience to His Father. He laid down His life. But friends, come back on Sunday night, 5 p.m. We're going to complete this text. We're going to see how Jesus, in obedience to His Father, took up His life again. May God bless you in this Easter season. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, we praise and worship You. Because You have made us in Your image, in holiness and righteousness, there's deep down in the human instinct that we know it is right, it is beautiful for one to lay down his life for others. O Lord, we know instinctively that selfishness is sin, that selfishness is ugly and evil and wicked. Oh, we hate to see selfishness in others, but may we hate to see selfishness in ourselves. We give You praise and thanks, for Christ has laid down His life for the sheep. May we hear His voice and count ourselves as the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we do remember our poor, needy, sin-sick world. We pray for those who are grieving, that You may comfort them. We pray for those who are dying, that they may give them life. Oh, we pray for those who are sick, that You may heal them. And we pray especially for our nurses and doctors who are risking their lives to save lives. And some have already laid down their lives for others. We pray for Your protection for them. O Lord, that as this deadly virus is humbling mighty countries like China, America, Britain, France, Italy, Germany, Lord, we pray that You may grant repentance unto many. We pray that You may have mercy upon the poorer people and nations in this world, that You may stay the spread of this virus, that poorer nations may be spared of great sufferings. For if the rich and powerful nations have been knocked down like this, how much worse will it be if this deadly thing to spread in poorer places in this world. We cry to You, O God, for Your mercy. We confess and acknowledge our own sins and disobedience to You. We confess the world is ripe for judgment. But Lord, we cry to You that in Your judgment You may remember mercy. And we cry to you, Lord, that you may revive your church and make bare your arm. May your people value the worship of your name through this deprivation of our worship. Hear us, we pray. And we are so thankful to you that we can pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, having the certainty that our persons and prayers are accepted by you because of Christ. In his name do we pray. Amen.